never paid attention to age, what age I was. I was always just who I am. You know, people get concerned when they're 30 and they're not where they thought they would be. I thought I was where I was supposed to be at 30, 40, 50. As you see, I have a full head of gray hair, and I've been gray for like, I'm 64. I've been gray for like at least 30 years. I was prematurely gray. So I never lied about my age. I was just who I was. So I didn't let that stop me. It was never, my age was never a deterrent for what I wanted to do.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels. Stories of brave and unapologetic women, 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. Hi, amazing listeners. Welcome to another episode of the Reinvention Rebels podcast. I am so glad you have joined me today, and I'm very excited about my guest, Arlene Walker. I just want to tell you that at 62 years young, Arlene published her first novel, which speaks to the idea I talk about a lot. We can reinvent ourselves at any age or any stage. Age is just a number, and there are limitless possibilities. I'm really excited to share our conversation in just a moment, and I think you're going to love getting a little dose of inspiration from Arlene. First, though, I want to share a brief review I recently received from one of my loyal listeners, Natalie. Natalie wrote, "Badassery and inspiring conversation. Wendy Battles and Reinvention Rebels should be required listening for midlife women and men. I love the stories of reinvention, transformation, and lifelong learning, which inspire and celebrate the power of curiosity and a reimagining of what's possible. Wendy is a masterful interviewer who effortlessly brings bold, badass women to life in easy, fun, and entertaining conversations. Don't miss a single episode." Natalie, thank you so much for writing this beautiful review. I am deeply grateful, and I appreciate that you are enjoying it so much. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for also being a guest not that long ago and inspiring so many of us with your own reinvention story. And I just want to say to any of you that are interested in writing review, I encourage you to do so. And one of the reasons I say that and I like to read these reviews is that when people write reviews, it changes the algorithms and it makes it easier for people to find the Reinvention Rebels podcast. And I want as many women and men, people of all ages, to find the podcast, to listen and really get inspired by these stories of brave and unapologetic women 50 to 90 years young. So thank you in advance for your time to listen and also for writing reviews. So let's get down to our main event today, my fabulous conversation with Arlene Walker. Sometimes we reinvent ourselves with intention. We know there's something different we want to do or be, and we get down to figuring it out. Other times, the opportunity to reinvent ourselves falls in our lap unexpectedly. That's exactly the reinvention path of my guest today, Arlene Walker. At 64 years young, Arlene reinvented herself as a first-time author. She took her love of books, reading, and writing and ran with it after being forced into early retirement. She enrolled in and is a graduate of the UCLA Extension Writers Program, where she honed her writing chops. How cool is it to discover a passion that leads to a reimagined life? Not only did Arlene publish her first book, Seeds of Deception, at 62, but she's also a saleswoman, an ad specialist, graphic designer, photo editor, social media maven, public speaker, business entrepreneur. Things she never anticipated doing. Arlene is a winner of the Penn USA CASP Award, as well as a finalist in the 2011 Penn Emerging Voices Fellowship. Her fiction and nonfiction have appeared in A Letter from My Mother, Wow, Women on Writing. This reinvention rebel has reimagined her life in interesting, exciting, and fascinating ways. Arlene Walker, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Thank you so much, Wendy. I'm so excited to be here. What a thrill. What a pleasure. What an honor.
Well, the honor and pleasure is all mine. And I am happy and grateful that you are joining me today. I'll tell our audience how we met, which is on Instagram. Somehow I came across your profile. It was so interesting. I saw that you were a writer. I really liked what you were posting. And I said, I need to find out more about this woman. She just seems really interesting. And then over the course of several months, you know, just posting and reading your posts and interacting, I started to see your story and how you're really a reinvention rebel. So I'm excited for our conversation. And I want to start in a really simple way, simply asking you about your love affair of reading, writing, books. How did that start?
Well, you know, my mother was a reader. We always had books in the home. But I think my love really started because most of her books were, adult. But I think my love of reading first started when I was in like third or fourth grade and we took a walking field trip to the Watts Library, which was our local library. And there I discovered books about people that I wanted to learn about, wanted to be, so interesting. I really got into the Beverly Cleary books, even though I was like 9, she was writing about, well, some of her characters are 10 or 11, but I really liked the teenage years that she wrote about. And so, yeah, that was the beginning of a long relationship. I got an application that day for a library card and took it home. My mom signed it. I took it back and I was so proud to get that card. It was the beginning of a long, loving relationship with books.
I totally can relate to that because I grew up in a similar home where books were really important and we were always reading and we took trips to the library and I will always find this great comfort in reading.
Yeah.
I can never be bored. Right?
Yeah.
There's always something interesting to read, to learn about. So I love how this started for you so early. So you discovered this love of books and then were you a writer when you were little? Like how did that kind of come about?
Actually, I was a writer of sorts. What happened was I'm the youngest of 8 and grew up in the 60s. And money was an object in my youth. And so we couldn't afford a journal or a diary. So what I did was I stole some notebook paper from my older siblings, folded it in fourth or cut it into fourth, stapled it together like a little diary, drew a picture on the cover, and that was the beginning of my journaling. That was my first writings, so to speak.
I love it. And what were you writing about?
My life in fourth grade.
Oh, crushed on a boy, isn't that the best?
My favorite teacher, whatever happened that day, I would write about in my make do journal.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Ripples are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes. I love it. I think, though, that speaks to the creativity we have at, you know, especially when we're younger. I think that kids generally are creative and use their imagination. So even if we don't have a lot, we can take, you know, we can make, I mean, that's such a great example of how you can make something from nothing, that you could create something that really became this tablet for you, so to speak, right? To really convey your thoughts and your ideas and your dreams.
And I had several of them, though I have none now, sadly. I wish I had those books from elementary school.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. I think it's fascinating to think about, like, what was important to us? Even when I hear kids, little kids kind of talking to each other, you know, that might be 8 or 9 or 10. It's so fascinating to hear their conversations, hear what they talk about, which I'm sure is probably what we were doing, right? You were doing with your siblings.
Yeah.
Talking about often nothing. But I mean, what's important to us when you're that age, whatever that was. So that was something. You have this passion for books. You start to write. You're an avid reader. But, you know, you didn't become an author until you were 62. So there's a long span in between. Yes. So tell us a little bit about how this actually unfolded. How did you go from this love as a kid for and this passion to actually manifesting this later in life?
Well, you know, I was a court reporter for many years in a busy criminal court here in LA County Superior Court. But I was forced into early retirement because of a work injury. So the first day I didn't have to go to work, I was like, this is what that poster means. This is the first day of the rest of your life. What are you going to do with it? I had no idea. So first thing I did was clean out my closet. Organize.
Well, that's a good first thing. Right, the thing you said, well, one day when I have more time.
Yes. So I cleaned out my closet, organized my bookshelf. And in the process of organizing my bookshelf, I realized how many books on writing I had purchased throughout the years. So many books. And in the books, in the pages, there were little snatches of a story. No complete story, but little snippets of writings, you know. And so I said, well, okay, maybe I could give that a try. And then at the same time, I was researching my family tree because I am the Walker family historian, self-appointed, because I love it.
I love that.
And so I was researching my family tree one day and I came across an ancestor who was born a slave. No surprise there. But surprise, she had not been enslaved by white people. She had been enslaved by Cherokees, members of the Cherokee tribe. Yes, that blew my mind. I was flabbergasted as to why would one oppressed people oppress another? And so I said, somebody should write a book about this. I looked around and no one had. So I took Toni Morrison's advice when she said, write the story you want to read. And thus, Seeds of Deception was born. My book baby.
I love that. So I love that you took this curiosity that, first of all, you did this self-discovery and you said, oh, wait a minute. There are all these clues that I guess I really am interested in writing because apparently I've been buying all these books. And you kind of buy one, you hear, you buy one there. So you can't necessarily, when you're busy, see, you can't see maybe that whole picture.
Yes.
Just know that this is interesting to me. But when you can step back and have a little perspective, what I hear you saying is you were able to kind of see this pattern.
Yes. It seems like the universe aligned for me to pursue this endeavor. So I like to listen when the universe speaks. So I took it seriously. And I first thing I did was to, when I decided to write, was to hone my craft. So that's when I enrolled in UCLA Extension's writer's program. So I could learn what I'm doing.
So yeah, which would be kind of important, you know?
It's kind of important. I like to know, you know, I always do research on anything I'm interested in. When I do something, I go whole hog. I'm all in. And so I had to learn my craft. And so that's why I enrolled in the writer's program. Learned a lot there, was able to work on my novel a little bit, but it kind of also delayed my writing of the novel because I wanted to get really good at what I did. But I was still able to do a little writing during the course.
I know that writers often are in groups or maybe they workshop something they're working on with other people. Is that part of what you do when you're in a program like that? Kind of test the waters with other folks? Or is it more just that internal process, you know, of writing?
No, you bounce your ideas off of other students in the class and your instructor, your professors. They give critiques, you know, they try to be encouraging, but you know, if your work is not up to par, you need to know that. And so that's what I liked about it. I'm also in a writer's group. So that helps too, to get feedback off of contemporaries.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So how long after you finished the program did you really get down to writing? And then what was that experience like? Because now this is almost like your job, right? You are retired. It's a new career. I mean, were you thinking of it at the time as you started writing the book? Were you thinking of it as this is going to be a new career for me? Or was it just like, I just have this passion. It's part of, you know, it's mixing my family history with, you know, and that fascination with ancestry, with my passion for writing. Did you have that, you know, what was your mindset like when you finished the program and you said, I'm going to get down to writing this book?
Yeah, I hoped it gave me a career. So that was my thinking in pursuing this.
I really like that because I think that really no matter what age we are, as we're aging, sometimes we have this idea that, well, I can only do so many things or I only have this many years left. And I really like the idea that at 62, you said, well, you know, why shouldn't I do this? Why not go for it? Why not see how I could create a new future doing something I'm going to really enjoy? Because I think that's, to me, what I see in the Reinvention Rebels that I talk to, that they have this passion for what they're doing or exploring. They're curious. They see possibility for new and different things. And that's really what I hear you saying, that this was this entree into a new time in your life.
Oh, yes. I never paid attention to age, what age I was. I was always just who I am. You know, people get concerned when they're 30 and they're not where they thought they would be. I thought I was where I was supposed to be at 30, 40, 50. As you see, I have a full head of gray hair and I'm 64. I've been gray for like at least 30 years. I was prematurely gray. Okay. So I never lied about my age. I was just who I was. So I didn't let that stop me. It was never, my age was never a deterrent for what I wanted to do.
I love that message. I think it's so important because I know that there are lots of women like ourselves that feel ageless, that it really doesn't matter and we can do anything. But at the same time, I know that there are people that may be listening thinking, wow, if Arlene can do this and she can decide she wants to start fresh in her 60s, what does that mean for me if I'm in my 50s or 60s or 70s? Or it doesn't even matter what age.
Yeah.
To your point, right? There is always this space of possibility if we give ourselves permission to explore that.
Yes. I say go for it. What is there to lose? You know,
exactly.
I suppose a lot of people are stopped by fear of failure, but that never bothered me. So I never thought about that because I knew I was going to do the best job I could do. And so I knew I would give my all, my best effort. So what more can you ask of yourself? You can only do what you can do.
You can only do what you can do. Exactly. Exactly. So I love that you just said, no holds barred. I'm just going for it. And so first of all, how long did it take you to write the book? Because I don't know, you know, I'm not a writer in that way. And so I don't really have a sense for, you know, the creative process when it comes to writing a book. What was that like?
Yeah. You know, it, I didn't set a time limit for myself. So it took me, I'm going to say about 5 years because no excuses, just explanation. It is historical fiction. And so I had to do a lot of research, tons of research. I'm going to say like a couple of years of research. I purchased about 50 books. Borrowed from the library another 50. I read newspapers, websites, firsthand accounts of things going on in Indian Territory, which is the setting for my novel. So there was a lot of research there. And then I started writing, and then something would come up like, how do you make soap or how do you cure something? I would have to stop and go back to the research, which was one aspect of writing that I loved. I love the research. I guess that ties into my genealogy too. That's just basically research.
Exactly. Exactly. So I like that you kind of tie these passions together in this really fascinating way. Because when you were doing that, did it feel like work, or was it that experience of, I just love this so much, I would happily do this?
I would happily do it, but it was work.
But it was definitely work. That's definitely work. Hey, amazing listeners. Are you feeling a little social? Come join me on social media for a big dose of inspiration. You'll find me on Instagram at Reinvention Rebels. Same thing on Facebook. And also I'm on Twitter at Rebels Reinvent. I look forward to seeing you soon. Is it something where you were disciplined? Are you the kind of person, the kind of writer who says, I'm going to write for 2 hours a day and you're very disciplined? Like how was it? Because I know sometimes people start projects, like people that write their dissertations and never finish. How were you able to do that?
I like to think of myself as disciplined, but I'm not as disciplined as I would like to be. I do set aside time in the mornings to write because my brain is no good after noon. So I have to get my writing in early.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes total sense. So tell me a little bit about the process to actually publish your book. So it's one thing to write it. It's another thing to publish it because in the intro, we talked about all the things that you have become. It's not just, you think, oh, I'm just going to write this book. And boom, but it's not that simple, clearly.
No, it's not that simple. And actually, if you don't query different agents or publishing houses. Well, agents, because you can't query a publishing house. But then it's a lot easier because it's very simple. Amazon, their publishing arm, which is Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP, they make it pretty easy. All you have to do is get it in the proper format, which I had to hire someone to put it in the proper format. You got to get a book cover. But it's, then after that, all you do is upload it, set pricing, write a little blurb, and it's for sale. Yeah, it's really easy. That's why there's so many indie authors out there.
What was the response? You did all this. Here's your baby that you now are putting out into the world. And what happened?
People liked it. I didn't get as many sales as I would, as I thought I would, given that it's a aspect of untold history that, you know, was little known. But it is a niche market, you know, because it's about Cherokee freedmen. It takes place in Indian Territory. So that not everybody is going to be interested in that. But I've had quite a positive response. Got some good reviews. I think like average 4 point something on Amazon. So that's good. 4 out of 5 stars.
I think that's excellent.
Not bad for a first time author.
I think so. I'm very impressed by that. I'm like, okay, I still need to get the book because, you know, me and my reading, spend a lot of time podcasting. So I, you know, I used to read like all the time and now I read, well, not nearly as much as I'd like to, but I am going to get down to Seeds of Deception.
Oh yeah. Get on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it sounds really fascinating. I'm curious about what you saw as the biggest obstacle in this process of writing, publishing, and now, of course, doing all this marketing of your book. What's been the biggest obstacle?
Marketing was the second biggest obstacle because I knew nothing about it. Who knew I had to be, you know, wear all those different hats that you mentioned in the intro? But the first biggest obstacle was my self-confidence. Could I do it? You know, am I good enough? One thing that helped me, well, two things that helped me was enrolling in UCLA and honing my craft. And the other was I won a short story contest. Oh, I came in second place, but
that's wonderful. You know,
I thought I was really proud of myself and that boosted my confidence. And it was a story about, you know, I'm really into history. And so I write historical fiction. So that story was about, it's called Colored Girl Movie. You can Google it. I think it's still online somewhere. But it's about a teenage girl going through an illegal abortion in the 60s.
Oh.
So I won second place.
That's wonderful.
And I don't see many historical fiction short stories, you know, in contests.
Yeah. So that's like a big deal. And I think it's things like that, though, that can really propel us forward as we're reinventing ourselves, as we're thinking about, you know, because it's, you know, we're going into new territory and we're not sure how it's going to unfold. But you went down this path. It's not like you knew. I mean, you know, as we go along, certainly we often don't know what we don't know until we do. And then we're like, oh,
exactly.
And maybe it's better that way.
Maybe.
I can't tell. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it's not. But
yeah. Well, in my case, that was the only way I would learn something is come across, get up right up to the door and say, oh, wait a minute. I don't know how to walk through there. Stop, figure that out, go through that door, and then there'd be another door or a window.
What would you say is the biggest lesson that you have learned from this process of reinventing yourself as an author?
Biggest lesson, I would say, is to just stick with something. Go for it and stick with it. because you never know. There's so many people that have started writing a novel or a memoir or something and then put it on the shelf. Finish it, because it might just be a bestseller. You know, maybe it's your story is going to resonate with someone besides yourself.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yes.
I really like that. Just do it.
Yeah. And stick with it.
Stay the course. Yeah, exactly. Because I certainly know in my own life over the many years that I've started things and I've had great intentions, but maybe I found out, well, it's not what I thought it was, or I get bored, or I just don't seem to have the attention to continue. So I have a lot of unfinished projects, you know, in my house. But I think that when you get onto something where you have this passion, where you, one, are you're good at something and you have a passion for it and it really stimulates you, that's very different, because that's how I feel about the podcast, that I just have so much joy in talking to amazing women. And I love interviewing people. I love listening. I love all the things that go into putting it together, maybe not the editing part, but everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, connecting with people on Instagram, that kind of thing. So all the other things I really enjoy, but it's been one of those things where I've just, you know, I have this passion to stick to it versus other things, you know, where maybe not so much.
But if you, like you say, if you have that passion, you're less likely to let fear stop you. But if you believe in what you're doing, then don't let fear stop you. Everybody's scared, I think. Everybody's scared of something. So just go for it. It might be the thing you should do. And you won't know unless you finish it.
Exactly. Hey, amazing listeners. Want to have Reinvention Rebels inspiration delivered to your inbox? Head over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes. Fast forward to you publish your book. You then realize you have to do all these other things. It's not just writing and publishing, even though it was pretty easy to, you know, self-publish and upload it, and that's all good. How did you figure all that out? Because I think a lot of times we get to this point in our life where we, if we so choose, we're trying to figure things out again. You know, we sometimes have gone through, whether we've been parents or through our work life, in some way we figured a lot of stuff out and we were pretty competent in figuring that out. But I think, you know, as we get older, sometimes we don't feel as confident, although you talked about how, you know, you had some things that really built your confidence, you know, going to school and winning this award. But how did you approach this idea of I have got this whole new world of things I need to do and I haven't done them before?
Well, I was blessed in that I got hooked into a writer's group pretty early in my writing journey. And I became best friends with one of the people who actually recruited me for the writer's group. And she'd written, well, right now she's got about 19 books out. It's Pamela Samuels Young. She writes legal thrillers. And so she was really a tremendous help to me. I mean, she gave me guidance. She didn't do things for me, but she pointed me in the right direction. I had help. I didn't do it completely alone.
Well, that's so important. You know, having a guide on the side makes all the difference.
Yes.
In just being able to navigate something that's new, to not want to quit or get really frustrated and say, I don't know about this, right?
Yes, yes.
That makes all the difference. I'm really curious about the process you use to inspire your creativity. I do a lot of writing, not historical novels, but more expository writing, even just captions on Instagram that I do a lot of thinking about and kind of tap into. And for me, I do my best work when I am quiet and still. For me, I do like a lot of meditation before, which helps just kind of clear my mind. And I'm kind of curious, Arlene, if there are particular things you do as a writer that help you get into that creative space.
To get into the creative space, it has to be early in the morning. That's why I get up at 5:30. I have gotten up at 3 to write. Sometimes you sleep and maybe you dream of a sentence you want to write or a scene you want to write. And so I make myself get up right then, because I've had that experience where you think of something, you say, well, I'll do it in the morning. I'll remember it in the morning. You won't. Get up, write it down. And if I get up and write it down, I may as well write the whole scene. So that's part of my process. I also pay attention. I listen to people. I observe people. Because you never know where your story is going to come from. You might be talking to somebody in the grocery store who could be a character in your novel. So I just pay attention, listen, keep my ears open.
That idea of paying attention, and that really resonates with me because I do the same thing, which could be, for me, paying attention internally, paying attention to wisdom that bubbles up, paying attention to random thoughts that cross my mind.
Yes.
Or sometimes it is talking to somebody that might inspire an idea that sparks something. And I often carry around a little notebook.
Yes.
Just to, I mean, not so much now because I barely have been leaving my home, but.
Oh, there's that.
Right. But just generally, because you just never know when inspiration will strike. And because I love what you're saying about sometimes in the middle of the night, you might have this idea. And I've had that before, that I've had this idea and I have said, I'm going to remember this. And in the morning, of course, I had no idea what it was.
Yes. That's why one of my favorite apps is the Notes app. Because, you know, I have carpal tunnel, so I can't write very long, but I can dictate to Siri or Otto, whoever's on the iPhone. And there go my notes. I have so many notes on the Notes app.
Ah, yes. Yeah, so that's a great idea. And I think that part of this idea of reinventing ourselves is getting inspiration from other people. Like you had your guide on the side who was helping you, right? Your friend.
Yes.
And I think that if we can soak up some inspiration from other people that have either maybe gone before us or are just very encouraging people that see that possibility that we see, that to me can make such a difference in just that forward motion, that what, you know, the ability to kind of put one foot in front of the other and keep it going when we do sometimes, of course, all of us have moments of doubt.
Yeah. My writer's group is very inspiring. We encourage each other. So I encourage anyone who's writing or wants to be a writer, join a writer's group, a good writer's group, you know, one that will encourage you and not to drag you down or discourage you.
Yeah, that seems like it's really key to being able to move forward, because it seems like we can get in our heads about a lot of things and be self-critical, start having that negative self-talk. And I think with writing too, it's such a thing where people are kind of judging it. Or, do you like the book? You know, people reviewing the book, that kind of thing. So, you know, it can be a little hard on the ego.
Yes. And everyone has an ego.
So. Right? Yeah. Even if it's not super big, we all do. We all do. So I really like this idea of how you, you just sort of pushed through your fears and are continuing, because what's happening now? So you wrote your first book, you've done all this work to sell it, market it, do presentations about it, increase your audience, get on social media and promote it, you know, many, many different things as we discussed in the intro. But what's next? Are you going to write more books?
Yes, I am in the process of writing my second novel. And I also, it's titled Watts Library Girl, working title anyway.
Love it.
And it's not autobiographical, but it is historical fiction as well. But I'm all the way in the 1960s now. I went from 1888 with Seeds of Deception. I'm up to 1960s. One day I'll be contemporary. But, here's my contemporary idea. I also have an idea that I am going to bring to fruition of writing a sitcom. I have this idea of a sitcom for, think of Girls Trip meets Golden Girls. Because it's going to be about the seasoned woman. I'm going to call her. People who have been around a while, you know, established in their careers. Who knows? Maybe one or two of them are retired. But that's my idea.
I love it. I love it. And I think that one of the reasons why that resonates with me so much is that, of course, when we look in the media, we see lots of images of younger people. We very rarely see people on camera with gray hair or, yes. You know, it's people that have been preserved really well. But, you know, most actresses aren't showing up like we are with gray hair and that kind of thing. So I love this idea,
sure. Right,
of how we can begin to shift the narrative about how older women show up and how we're seen. Mm-hmm. And that, so I love this idea that, you know, just the notion of creating something like this. And it goes back to this idea of reinvention. Like, you know what? I'm not going to just stop with some books. I also have other ideas. This is just getting me started on my creative process.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Like, go girl. I love that.
And I love the name of your podcast. I want to be a rebel. I want to be a reinvented rebel.
Exactly. Like who doesn't want to say they reinvented themselves in some kick-ass way in their 60s or 70s or 80s?
Yes. Why stop? You're still here. You're still alive.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's so much living left to do.
Yes. So what advice do you have for someone who's listening to this podcast? There are plenty of people who are listening to that are already reinvention rebels. They're like, yes, I'm just like to be inspired by hearing other people like myself. But there are other listeners who are thinking, you know, I'd like to be like Arlene. I'd like to build my confidence and put myself out there and try something new just to explore. What advice do you have to someone who's kind of not sure where to begin? What's a good first step, do you think? Just starting down the path, perhaps, of becoming a reinvention rebel.
Well, whatever you have in mind to do, learn all about it. Hone your craft. Look at every aspect of it. And just because I feel like I want to be prepared. So I advise everyone else to be prepared too. And then once you have those tools in your kit, just go for it. Go all the way. No holds barred. Don't stop. Don't be deterred. Just keep going until you finish, until you are where you want to be. And then maybe you can help someone else do the same thing, you know, pay it forward.
I really like that. And just you coming on the podcast, encouraging people. So just the words that you're sharing about how you can get started, bring someone else along, I think are really encouraging words for people that are less confident, that aren't as sure, that are thinking, well, you know, I'm 70. Can I really reinvent myself?
Yes, you can.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's why I think it's so important that we have more of these stories, that we really shine this light and illuminate older women, because we're doing amazing things.
Yes.
We're right.
But no one knows about it until they listen to Reinvention Rebels. And they can hear all about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm just so excited that you've joined me today and you've come along to really share this inspiration and these ideas and this encouragement for people that are listening to be able to see the possibility that if at 64, you can be a marketing executive, a social media maven, you know, all of that, your own publicist, that you've done all of these things from the comfort of your home, but are doing it, right? And because I guess I'm guessing that because of COVID, obviously, like everyone else, you did all of this stuff that you do virtually.
Yes, exactly. I had to make sure everybody knew that I was still available for book club visits only via Zoom. So, and then I did a few book clubs on Zoom, and somebody in there was a professor at a college, and she invited me to speak on my book, and then others invited me to speak on my book. Different aspects of it, like one I did, a couple I did as far as marketing the book. I felt like I was a marketing expert, which I'm not, but I was enough to get people started.
I love that. So now you're like a professor. You're teaching class, right? You're like presenting. I mean, it's fascinating. And that's so much about anything is possible, endless possibilities. We can, you know, we can dream it and then do it if we so choose. So I really love that. As we are wrapping up, Arlene, I want to see if there's any other words of wisdom you want to share with our listeners about your reinvention or just the possibility that exists in reinventing ourselves at any age or any stage.
I hate to sound trite, but if you can dream it, you can do it. It's a cliche, but it's so true. Don't give up on your dreams, no matter what age you are. If you're 22 or 72, don't give up. Keep pushing forward. You'll get there. Who knew I would be a published author? I certainly didn't have that in mind until I decided to do it. So yeah, just keep going for it. Don't be afraid. Or be afraid, just work through it.
Yes. Because there's some things that are just scary, but we just
persist. Yes.
Do it, even when it feels uncomfortable.
Yes. Get out of your comfort zone. Sometimes I feel that invigorates me. If I'm, especially afterwards, after I stepped out of my comfort zone and then I've accomplished something, I'm like, yeah, okay, I did that. What else can I do?
Exactly. And if I can do that, I can do anything. Yes. I mean, because I think that's what engenders. Like if we can get that feeling of, I actually did something that was so hard that I didn't think I could do. I was unsure.
Yes.
And I was able to do it. Then it, of course, builds our confidence for the next thing.
Yes.
And I think the thing about reinvention is that it doesn't, you know, not everyone is going to reinvent themselves by writing a book, right? Some people might have a small idea of reinvention that maybe doesn't take 5 years.
Yes.
So I think that reinvention can be whatever we want it to be, and that each of us is so unique that we are all on our own unique journey and path and uncovering what's right for us. So what's right for me might be different than what's right for you, but it's still that notion of I can create something new.
Mm-hmm.
I can be amazing at whatever this thing is when I set my mind to it, as you're saying, and I just decide.
Yes.
Right. I'm going to dream it. I'm going to achieve it. So I think that to me is so key. Yeah. I know that people listening want to know, where the heck can I find Seeds of Deception? And where can I find Arlene to learn more? So please tell us how people can connect with you.
Easy peasy. My book is available, Seeds of Deception by Arlene L. Walker, on Amazon. And my social media, I am Arlene Walker Author on Facebook as well as Instagram. So you can please follow me. You can hook up with me there.
Wonderful. I'm going to have to follow you on Facebook now.
Yeah, do that.
I love it. I love it. Well, Arlene, it has been such a pleasure.
No, it's been my pleasure. I'm so glad our paths crossed. Look, I've met one reinvention rebel to another.
Right? And if we can do it, anybody else can do it too. It's that simple. Hey, amazing listener. Are you ready for a dose of pro-age inspiration delivered to your inbox? Pop over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes. I share motivation, insights, and articles about how you can become a pro-age reinvention rebel too. Come join us. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help as your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast. I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible, and I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.